World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
So I'm trying to figure out, is this still a holiday? I mean, this is the Monday after the 4th. It was part of the discussion we actually were in a couple weeks ago. Is the Friday before the 4th or the Monday after the 4th? Which one officially is a holiday? And I think maybe we still don't have it figured out. But it is July 6th. It is Monday. And, yes, we're here live. It is Pass the Salt. And, wow, just a lot to talk about. Feeling kind of melancholy today. I want to run down a few things to talk to you about. The world's still on fire. The culture still disintegrating. And yes, our need to pass the salt is still there. But man, lot on my heart, a lot I want to share with you here today. Before I get diving too deep into it, I haven't really looked to see exactly who is in here with us. By the way, time out. I'll get to it. Do I want to do that now, Coach? No, I don't want to do that yet. I'll do this right now. I want to make sure we acknowledge Bobby Lee and the efforts he and his crew put forth out in Gettysburg, PA. And at the last minute, I talked to Bobby. Said, "Man, Bobby, I don't know whether I have a lot on my plate, man. I want to come if it's important. I don't know if it's important or not, Bobby. I don't know if it's a false flag. I don't know if they're really going to try to. I just don't know. And I got to make a call, so I'm not going to be able to come to Gettysburg." But Bobby went, and Bobby, can you give us a once over exactly what's going on, and then talk maybe a bit about what we're going to do down in Kentucky here in a couple weeks or this weekend, whatever it is.
Yeah, I posted up around Robert E. Lee statue. There were hundreds of people there, thousands of people throughout the park and in town. Militia was everywhere. ARs were everywhere. Patriots. It was an incredible thing. Now, the deal is there was Antifa and BLM types there. But they were overwhelmed. They attempted to burn a flag. That was squashed really quick, and the guy was taken out. Now, there's scouts there. Right where I was at, there was an Antifa scout coming in there taking pictures, and he soon left. So had there not been such an overwhelming force there, without a doubt, there would have been problems.
Do you think these are test probes, Bobby? Do you think they're trying to find out what our reaction might be?
Absolutely. Without a doubt.
And so people turned out in good force, and I saw.
And something else. Here's an alternative outcome that nobody expected and the left didn't expect. Now we have a huge bond between patriots, militia, believe it or not, gun owners, and law enforcement. We're laughing, we're joking, we're on the same side, we're speaking the same language against the bad guy. They didn't expect that to happen.
Bobby, can I do my mantra real quick?
Go ahead.
Constitutional militia, good. BLM, bad. Constitutional militia, good. BLM, bad. So it's good that when those of us who are on the right side of this battle come together, that's a good thing, right, Bob?
Absolutely. Yeah, love it.
Bobby, what's going on in Kentucky? What have we got going on down there, bud?
All right. I think it's Saturday. Saturday.
Time all runs together with me too, Bubby.
Yeah. Saturday, we're meeting at noon at Boonesboro. Daniel Boone's place down there is Fort. We're going to tour that for a few hours, experience what strong men and women of the past were. We're going to talk about it. Then we're going to head over to somebody else's house in the evening that's nearby. We're going to fellowship. We're going to put some planning together. It's a very light, extremely light, it's an intro. It's a talking about the problems and putting together planning and encouragement. There's people coming that we haven't necessarily met. I want to get the Kentucky thing up and running. the Pennsylvania thing seems to be running pretty good. Now we need to get the Kentucky people on board, and that's the objective.
Well, Bobby, I salute you, man, because you just grabbed the bull by the horns, and you've been what Bob Evans said to me in a down moment that we had on, I think it was Saturday, I don't remember. It was Saturday night, I think, when we were seeing that, what seemed to be unconquerable odds of getting the cross up. Bob just kind of looked at me. He says, "Coach, I'm relentless." And Bobby, you're relentless too, and appreciate your efforts and Chad and everything Chad's done. And folks, again, let us not forsake Hebrews 10:24. Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together even more as we see the day approaching. And even though we want to, you know, as much as I try to shake off the idea that Coach Dave Live, Pass the Salt, whatever we're becoming, whatever we call ourselves, is beginning to have a national impact, I still get uncomfortable with it. Because in my mind, it's a congregation of smaller groups. That's the way I see it. It's just a place where we all connect and we stay plugged in and we draw strength from each other and encouragement from each other. But ultimately, this is a grassroots effort, bringing people together. And Jared's working hard right now, trying to bring up Hebrews 10:24, which says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." But there's that word, isn't it? Huh? Good works. See, good works it's not a bad thing, folks. Despite what they've told us in Christianity, for y'all, it's not a works gospel. Coach, are you trying to work your way to heaven? No. Works are evidence of my faith. It's not brownie points. It's evidence of my faith. So it says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love, into good works." It seems to me that love and good works connect somehow. You know, if you love the Lord, there's good works that are associated with it. And because he loves you, he does good things for you. There seems to be a connection to love and good works. Works are evidence of faith. Works are evidence of love, it would seem to me. And it says that let us consider one another to provoke unto love. Bobby provokes me. Bob Evans provoked me. I can tell you others who provoked me to good works. They provoked me to do it. But they provoked me through love to do good works. And not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Not everybody, right? Not everybody, I guess. As the manner of some is. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Do you see the day approaching? Come on. So that's what it's about. That's what it's about. And I want to do everything I can from this perch that the Lord has given me to provoke you unto love and to good works. And to forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, no matter how much the government's trying to keep you from assembling yourselves. You see that, don't you? Folks, come on, tell me you see that. That the government is doing everything that it can to not have Christians in particular assemble themselves together. Now, why would that be? Other than we know this, that Psalm 2 talks about the kings of this world conspiring against the Lord and who's his anointed. Well, who would that be? Who would the Lord and his anointed be? Well, I believe that would be us. I believe that would be the body of Christ. The kings of this earth set themselves and rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointing, saying, "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." And so the kings of this earth are doing, as we are seeing more and more people gather on the dark side, gathering to do whatever they want to do, as soon as we on our side tried to get together to do anything, they swoop in and say, "No, you can't do that." In fact, our side is some of the worst at disassembling. Our side won't stand up and push back and say, "No, we're getting together." No, and we're not waiting for the government to give us the permission to do it. Why? Because the Lord already exhorted us in Hebrews 10:24, that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, holding fast the profession of our faith without wavering, right? And let us consider one another, provoke one another unto love and to good works, and not forsaking the assembling ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much more as you see that day. Oh man, this is so good, isn't it? This is so good. So I salute Bobby, and I salute Chad, and I salute everybody out there, man. It's trying to bring things together, make things happen. And I wish there was more we could do, and I'd love to help us do more, But I really believe in my heart this is exactly what it is that the Lord wants us to do. To assemble, and I don't know why. I don't know why. Hey, Roger, we ran a new grandbaby. Congratulations, Roger. What'd you name? What'd they name that little guy? And
His name is Cyrus.
Cyrus. Cyrus
Edwin Weaver. So beautiful little boy, and we're all excited in the Weaver household. Thank you.
It helps you understand again that this thing continues on, doesn't it? It continues on, man. It's about our children, about our grandchildren. Hey, listen, July 17th through the 19th. Again, tip of the hat and salute to Chad, particularly Gary Pierce, doing a lot of work. Bobby Lee and Gary Donahoe and Jamie Walden. I keep saying his. I get it's Walden, like a lion's den, Walden, and I keep throwing an R in there. I don't know why. I know Jamie. I know his family. Jamie Walden, Chad Estes, Gary Donahoe, Bobby Lee, anybody else that's going to show up and do something, Joseph Allen. I mean, I got a busy, busy week. My wife is stressing out. Our numbers have exploded. We have now cut off all registration to this event on July 17th, 18th, and 19th. And I'm not going to tell you what the number is. Just going to be a lot of people there. I'm going to point out some things. I'm sorry, listen, if you're not coming, just bear with me as I just do some house cleaning here that's important for us. Folks, please hear me. We have been working really, really hard all spring and all summer to get Sky High ready for people to stay there. It's almost ready, but it is not ready for 50 people to come traipsing through there all weekend. It's not ready for it. It's not. So Sky High itself is not going to be available for sleeping and all that kind of stuff. We have all kinds of camping area, rough camping, as Gary calls it, boondocking. We have some power hookups, but not a whole lot of power hookups. By power hookups, I'm talking about just plugging into something, right? An extension cord. Water will be available, but not to plug into every camper, okay? We'll try to figure if we can jury-rig some type of hose with shower to, for people who are camping on site. You can come and bring a tent and pitch that tent. There's plenty of space. You can pull a camper in. There's plenty of places to put a camper. But understand it's all rough, okay? It's all rough. And if I want to stay married to my wife, I can't have a bunch of people traipsing through the building. Now you can go and see it and see everything we're doing there. You guys understand what we're doing. We're getting a tent set up outside. We'll have Jiffy Johns and all that kind of stuff. But, hey, if you're not staying in a hotel, expect some rough housing, okay? We're doing the best to make it palatable for everybody. That's not the right word, but bear with me. Look, if you can bring some food with you, if you got your favorite crock pot thing that you cook it and bring it. I look down there, potluck dinners. Larry's going to do a lot of cooking for us, and he's going to cook some Saturday. I get it right, my Friday night, Saturday, or whatever meals Larry's cooking, and he's taking care of all that. But we burdened Larry so bad last time, he couldn't cook at all. So there's going to be sometimes we're doing potluck. If you can bring along your favorite treat, more than a bag of chips, but some stuff like that, that would all just really, really help us.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, Larry.
Yeah, one thing that might help is with all the logistics of getting everything ready, I have got a 16-pound turkey that will not fit in my freezer as of the Thursday I leave to come up there. So I'm going to take it out a couple of days early and stick it in the air fryer so I can forget it. So we'll have a 16-pound turkey helping out on potluck.
Well, that's great, Larry. We're going to have some chow. Folks, listen, trust me, we have a nice crowd, okay? We have a nice crowd. So anything that you guys, as you can tell, I'm trying to keep expenses down. I understand some of you have to come and stay in a hotel. I understand all that. I do. I understand the sacrifices that you're making. But we have so many that we've cut it off. And if it's too rough for you, then without sounding mean, stay home. All right? So we're going to do Friday night. Chad's just putting together a new schedule because it was more people than he was expected, and we're talking about some serious training we're trying to do. See, here we have this dilemma. We have some people who have never shot a gun at all. Right? We want to be able to introduce them. And we have some, you know, you understand the skill levels, right? The skill levels. And Chad and Jamie and those guys, they want to do a good training and teaching. And if I said to Chad this morning even, hey, if we got to do another one in a month, we'll do another one in a month. So just bear with us as we roll this whole thing out and how we do it and yada, yada, yada. So There it is. All hands on deck. If you're looking for a place to stay in a hotel, I still don't know if I had that up on the website. There's a lot of places. Hebron, Newark, just Google Buckeye Lake area. There's all kinds of places for you to stay. Hey, you get what you pay for. If you get a $60 a night hotel, you know what you're getting. If you get a $160 a night hotel, you know what you're getting, right? Have some people said, what about Airbnbs? Is there an Airbnb? I got one here at Fairfield Beach. Yeah, that'd be okay. Whatever housing that works for you, okay? Sounding good, folks. Maybe next year at this time we'll be good enough that we can open up the ministry center and all that. So let me shut up a minute. Bobby or Chad or Joseph or Mark, anybody got anything to add here at this point?
Well, Dave, I just wanted to add in there that for those that are coming, you know, you need to be supplied to make sure you have all the right equipment, things like that. I think I sent that email out to Coach and Gary about it. So have a holster, have a sling, have some extra magazines, that kind of stuff. That you bring your hearing protection, your eye protection, that kind of stuff. So
earplugs, all that. Yeah.
Yeah, we need all, you know, furnish that, and then probably bring a little bit extra in case somebody else doesn't have some. So anyway, thank you.
And Chad, we're going to have some fun, aren't we? We're going to have some fun.
Yeah, be prepared to be overwhelmed with laughter.
Yeah.
I want to add one other thing.
Yeah, Bobby.
About the self-defense thing. Listen, you can't teach people. It takes a long time to learn the art of fighting. So we're basically, I'm not going to have people do much. We're probably going to do a lot of talking with going over about 2, 3, or 4, or 5 specific things, focusing on just number 2 center. So it needs to be very simple. It needs to be quick. We're not going to have people out there working out, more talking, and trying to get the mind right.
No, Bobby, but we do know this, don't we? We are seeing all the time, every day in the news, people are being attacked. When they go to the mall, a car breaks down on the side of the road. This stuff, folks, it's going to get worse. I'm just telling you. And so we're just trying to do everything we can to assemble ourselves together, even as we see that day approaching, and help you be prepared right where you are. Cool. Hey, listen, I want to dive into. I hate to take this time, but I think it's really, really important. I take some time, and I want to talk a little bit about Sky High and the cross that went up. See, some of you don't – I'm going to tell you this. Can I tell you a story here? I'm going to tell you a story. First of all, Jared, pull up Joshua 4. Joshua 4. Joshua 4. My friends, please be aware of this, that the left, the God haters, are doing everything they can to destroy history, everything that they can. You can go back to George Orwell, 1984, go back to all the comment, all that stuff, and you'll find out that that is one of the things that they have to do in order to be successful is to destroy the foundations. It says Psalm 11:3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? So they're rewriting our history. I posted on our Facebook. Hey, Jared, I'm sorry I'm bouncing around so much. I had Jared post on our homepage today. If you can go there, Jared, under videos. I got this from, I think this came from Brian. Scroll on down a second for me. Jared, I'm sorry. Coach Dave's video picks, see if it isn't in there. That right, which one was it? Yes, there it was. There it was. Folks, there are a couple videos on our video page that you need to take the time to watch. One of them being, Jared, right there, Jared, freeze right there. The privilege they arrested from history. It's the first video. It's a historical. Slavery started with white folks. Slavery started with white folks. This is an unbelievable 37-minute video. Watch that. Just watch it. And there's a good one there from is this torture from Amazing Polly. And then the video of raising the cross. We're going to get there in a second. Some good stuff, folks, that you can watch and you can share with others, okay? I wanted to make sure that I acknowledge it. It's the one on privilege that they erased from history is really, really eye-opening. So I thank Brian that he gave that to me. But we're Joshua 4. I want you to go to Joshua 4. They're trying to tear down our history. Remember, it tells us in Psalm 78 that we are to the fathers who teach it to their children, who will teach it to their children, who will teach it to their children. And I go back about a year and a half ago, longer than that now, maybe almost 2 years ago, when some of you, bear with me, please, when I was praying with my little grandson, my little three-year-old grandson, and when I got through laying my hands praying on him, and he said to me, "Grampy, can I pray with you?" And he and I switched seats, and he laid his hands on my head, and he prayed some gibberish over the top of me, and then he said as clearly as he could in his little three-year-old vernacular, "The Lord will open doors, and you will walk through them." He prayed that over me about 2 years ago. I should have marked a date. And then 3 days later, the guy next door went into the nursing home at Sky High, this big 30-acre property next door to us, and his son-in-law pulled into my driveway and said that Johnny, the guy that owned it, wanted us to have it. And that took me down a journey I never thought I was going to go. It's been an 18-month journey of ups and downs like you can't believe. We did purchase the property, and we've been working on it for a year with the help of Joe Allen, Mark Trump, and Ryan Duncan, and on and on and on. People who've come and helped. See, there I go again. Now I'll forget somebody. But everybody's come and has helped and done great things there. Richard Rapp, and Mike Blake, how could I ever forget? All the guys have come and done unbelievable stuff. And then we erected the cross this weekend. And we erected the cross because, yeah, I didn't want people to think, like so many guys do, you know, they do stuff that just seems to bring glory to what they're doing. I didn't want to do that. We were sitting around the campfire at our last event up at Sky High, and I, you know, from the time I went up there, I wanted to erect a cross. I said, "Folks, we are recapturing enemy territory. Sky High, I don't want to dive into it. Nephilim Central, fallen angels, prehistoric cairns, mound builders, all of that stuff. We are here. This is it. That we are in the center of, for whatever reason. Well, many people who study this stuff say this is Nephilim Central. And Sky High is the first foothill of the Appalachian. People call it Appalachian. It's actually Appalachian, but that's okay. The first foothill of the Appalachian Mountains. And a highest spot over Buckeye Lake. And when the Lord said, "You shall walk," Lord said, "He will open doors, we'll walk through it." I had no intentions of buying Sky High. But we have. And we were dedicated to the Lord. And we put that cross up. We were sitting around the campfire about a month ago. And I said, "Anybody have an idea how we can get a cross up here? It's been my vision to get a cross up here. To light Buckeye Lake. To let people know that Jesus is king. Jesus is king over Buckeye Lake. I want to do that. I don't want to do it to make everybody know who I am or what we're going on. I want it to be a symbolic mark that Jesus is king over Buckeye Lake. I want to put up an ark." And sitting there was another one of those quiet assassins. Bob Roy's a quiet assassin. Bob Evans is a quiet assassin. He got a hold of me and said, "Coach, I've always wanted to do it. I've always wanted to make one." And Bob went to work making a cross. And the assembling of it that took place is unbelievable. Unbelievable. And that I'm going to show you some stuff. I'm going to talk about that here in a second. But I want to show you something out of Joshua 4 that has kind of been part of what it's been in my spirit the whole time. We have to leave markers, folks. Markers signify something of significance. That's why they call it signify. They are markers of significance. That's what our historical markers have been. And we are in a time and a place in America today where they are destroying the foundations. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And so we see that our children don't understand our history because the history isn't being taught anymore. You see that our churches don't even have steeples on top of them anymore. Some of them may put crosses on the outside, but if you go look at a brand new church that's built, there's no steeple on it. There's no great marker of Christianity on top of it. They have names that don't even sound like churches. And so as a result, our heritage is being trampled. The significance of what we are supposed to signify is being lost because nobody's doing anything. And my friends, this comes right out of the scriptures. Joshua said, "And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, said, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man, and command you them, saying, take ye hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and you shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared for the children of Israel out of every tribe of man." Bob Evans has been prepared for this very moment. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, Daddy, what was that all about? Then you shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant, and when it passed over the Jordan, that the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of the war that was won here, that we have reclaimed and reestablished this land as a marker for the cause of Christ. That's what Joshua was being told to do. And the children of Israel did as Joshua commanded. They took their 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over unto that place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, and until everything was finished, that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua, and passed, and the people hasted and passed over. See, it went from Moses to Joshua. This is a tag team handoff, the thing we call faith. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over, the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priests in the presence of the people. And the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and half of the tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the children of Israel, as Moses spake unto them. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto the battle to the place of Jericho. And on that day, the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all of Israel. And they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord spoke unto Joshua, saying, come, command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony. Tell them to come up here and build themselves a cross. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, come ye up out of the Jordan. It came to pass when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord would come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up onto that dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned. Wow. Return to their place. Over all his banks as they did before. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones, which they took out of Jordan, did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, Daddy, what's this mean? Then you shall let your children know, saying that some men came back and they reclaimed this land for the Lord. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan from before you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before them until we're gone over, that all the people on the earth, that all the people around Buckeye Lake might know the hand of the Lord. That it is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. That's the purpose of the cross. It's a marker. It's a something to signify what took place there. Reclaiming of property territory for the Lord. The high place for the Lord. And what a journey it's been. See, what Bob did was a prophetic act. See, it was a prophetic act. And the Lord, hey folks, what's inside you? What's that vision inside you that you have yet to fulfill? I remember when I was standing out at Chappaqua, New York. Filled my car up with gas after we'd just been to Hillary's house, and Randy Lunsford came up to me and said, Coach, I got to go back. I said, what do you mean, Randy? He said, Coach, the Lord sent me out here and told me to do something. I didn't do it. I said, what is that, Randy? He said, I got to go lay my hands on that threshold. I got to go open that threshold. I said, knock yourself out, Randy. He went and did it. And I think if we could go down here and talk to everybody that's in this queue today, there's something the Lord's called you to do. And you don't know what it is yet. Or you've refused to do it. Or you've run from it. Or whatever. And like time through an hourglass, sand through an hourglass, we're running out of time for some of these things that we're supposed to be doing that we haven't done. That maybe the most significant moment of your entire life might just lay right in front of you. And you haven't had the opportunity, you haven't had the courage, you haven't had the initiative, you haven't had the vision, whatever it is. Why? What is it that the Lord would have you to do? For the Bible says that you shall know them by their fruits. And we just read about Acts and Josh and Hebrews 10:24. To do what? To exhort them to love and to good works. Bob Evans said his whole life he's wanted to do what he did.
Dave.
Hang on a second, just real quickly. And after we raised that boat, after we raised that ark, I'm sorry, after we raised that cross, I took Bob and Tammy. We went out on the boat because I wanted to see if we could see it. And when we got out on the boat, when it's really kind of funny, the horizon behind Sky High gets higher as you go. Appalachian Mountains, right? So Sky High is here, but the mountains roll. So when you're out in the water and you look at what you think is the top of the mountain, you can't see the top. You can't see Sky High because you get what I'm, you guys getting the picture? You're looking at the top of Sky High and you think that's at the top, but it isn't. It's at the first foothill and there's a lot more behind it. So when you're out on the water and you're looking, you can't find it. You can't find it. And so we went out and we scattered out and we tried to find where the big pine trees were on the horizon. Bob had his binoculars and we finally zeroed it in. We saw where it was and we said, oh my goodness. And here's where we can put the cross so they'll be able to see it all down the lake, yada, 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 yada. And so when we went out and got on the boat after Bob had erected the cross and we took off from our dock, we were too close. Let me back up now. Here's Sky High. And we're out here in the water where we're too close to sky-high trees. We couldn't see the cross. But the farther we got away from sky-high, the higher the cross went up in the horizon. Now, understand, sky-high is here and the mountain range is still here. But now that we're out a distance away, all of a sudden, boom, there popped that cross. And the farther we drove away from the cross, it wasn't even lighted. It was just a white cross. The farther we drove down the lake away from Sky High, the higher that cross appeared to go in the horizon. I reached over and gave Bob a high five. It was an unbelievable folk. Unbelievable. I still haven't seen it lit at night. But I've noticed this. People driving by stopping and taking pictures of of the tower. Go to our Facebook page real quick. Hey, bear with me here, will you? Just bear with me. It's a significant moment in my life, and it's a significant moment in the life of Bob. I don't know any other way to do this. Hey, Jared, go ahead, scroll down a minute. For those of you who haven't seen, going down, Jared, I want you to see, this is 40, the tower is 40 some feet. The cross is another 20 some feet. There's the cross. That is sunrise yesterday morning. Sunrise. I'm at the bottom of the hill looking up. That's a 44, 45 foot tower and about a 20 foot cross on top of it. So that's about 65 feet in the air. And as you remember, Bob did all this offsite. Okay. He put this thing together up in Youngstown, Ohio, Lisbon, Ohio. He did this offsite and brought it here and reassembled it here. It was unbelievable. And so I got up yesterday morning and I went up and I took that. That is the sun coming up right behind that crow's nest. That's the sun. I'm standing at the bottom of the hill looking up, taking the picture. This is the day after Bob had erected. So scroll down a little bit more, Jared. Bear with me, folks. There it is at night. There it is at night. That's from about the exact same position. That's that lighted cross about 9:30 on July 4th. And that was our goal, to have it up on the 4th of July so that all the people on the lake would be able to see it. And the light is so bright, I don't know if you can see it, the bottom of the tower, you can read your book down at the bottom of the tower. It's powerful, powerful. Scroll down and see if there's another one, Jared. I don't know. There's all kinds of pictures, all kinds of stuff. It's amazing. Remember, it's a marker. It's a marker, right? It's a marker. People are driving by and they're stopping and they're taking pictures and they're saying, what is that? Well, there's a king over Buckeye Lake, and it isn't that old Nephilim guy anymore. There's a new king over Buckeye Lake. And it's an encouragement, I know, to believers. They don't even know what it is yet. It's an encouragement to them. If you can bear with me just for a few minutes, Jared, go to our homepage and show the video of this thing going up. It's they told us it couldn't be done. And Bob Evans, who, as far as I know, probably never had his first college course, or geometry or trigonometry, probably never had anything at all with it. Bob put this whole thing together. Jared, go ahead and play this, folks. This is the launching of this tower. Sorry, I look so scruffy.
Okay, folks, here we are. Final moment. Let me flip it around here. We're getting ready to raise this baby. Bob's taking it as far as he can on his skid steer. Look at that cross. Is that something? Now, I'm going to go down here, and I'm going to get in the truck. I'm going to hand the phone to Michelle.
Yeah.
And she's going to take a picture of this thing. And I'm going to drive the truck down the hill, and it's going to pull that cross up. On the backside of it, we have another truck that's going to keep it from flopping forward, we pray. So we covet your prayers right now. Michelle, you are live and in color. When we get done, honey, at the bottom, you'll hit finish.
Bring them on camera. What does that mean?
What's that?
It says bring them on camera.
No, don't do anything. Are you ready, Bob?
Yeah.
Lord, we just give you this moment, Lord.
There's a sweat bee on the phone.
Michelle has her own dialogue going on here.
Jane! Get down there! Michelle. If you see him do this, you gotta stop!
Say it again. Bob does, if Bob does fist, everybody do it so I see y'all.
Alright. Okay. Coach can't see or hear in the truck with the diesel running.
Michelle's gonna get stung here in a minute, so bear with us.
Oh, Lord Jesus, help us right now in Jesus' name. There's Bob.
So I start driving, and there it starts moving. My truck's pulling it up.
I'm scared. Lord. It's got to go into two concrete holes with a hook on it so they can...
Okay, you can cut it off there. You can cut it off there, Jared. So, what, folks, it was the most amazing thing. Bob, I can't even explain it to you, how Bob, at his home, calculated where the bolts were going to go. There are four locking bolts at the bottom of this tower that Bob created in Lisbon, Ohio, 2.5 hours away. We planted them in concrete. We laid this thing flat down. And when we stood that thing up, those bolts fell right exactly where they were supposed to fall. It is absolutely unbelievable. Jared, go back and know that it went from that to, right there. Stay right there a second, Jared. Because, folks, I'm going to put the pressure on Roger Weaver right now. Right here where this old shed is here, I want to put Weaver Pavilion right there. Now that Roger's got two grandsons, and I want Roger to help us build a pole barn, the Weaver Pavilion. We're going to tear that old barn down, and we're going to put the Weaver Pavilion right there at the base of that thing. In Jesus' name. So, Jared, go back and show that it went from this. Show some of those pictures that we just looked at, if you will, real quick, to that. Those are four bulbs at the bottom. We're doing this right now by extension cords, if you can believe that. We got to run some wiring out there. Extension cords are lighting this thing. Went from that. Give us the daytime view, Jared. To that. It's unbelievable. So thank you for giving me a little bit of time to share this. This is so huge in my heart and so huge in the heart of Bob and Tammy Evans and their daughter, Bobby. Scroll on down, Jared, and show them the picture of Bob and his daughter, Bobby, 50 feet up in the air, piecing together the lights on this thing. Keep going. There they are. 50 feet in the air with a drill. Man, oh man, oh man. So you're all going to get to see this thing. The only people mad right now are the deer because the field's lighted. They're used to being the field being dark. Now the field's lighted because of this cross. So we'll see. We'll see. Cool. Any comments? We're going to move on. Any comments? God bless Bob. I said, listen, Bob Evans and my brother-in-law, Carl, my 81-year-old brother-in-law, Carl. I said, Carl, you've left a lasting legacy at Buckeye Lake, Carl. 81 years old. He grew up on the lake. You left something lasting. I said that to Bob. Bob, forever. You can drive people by and say, I built that thing. To the glory of God, I built that thing. Amen. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'm going to draw all men unto me. That's what it's about. Somebody come on in here.
Dave, I was just going to mention earlier that, you know, when you're talking about God calling you to do missions or, you know, a certain mission, whatever.
Don't forget Gary Pierce was here. So I did. I meant my wife said, don't forget Gary Pierce. I mentioned Gary.
Yeah.
Four old men. Hang on, Chad. Yeah. Carl's 81. Gary's 67, I think. I'm 66. Bob's a young guy, 57 or something like that.
Hey, I hit it with a hammer.
And Roger did hit it with a hammer. That's right. So this was raised by four old men when everybody else told us it couldn't be done. You gotta get a crane, you gotta do this. Now we need some reinforcement. Thank God for Steve Deck and his coaching. We understand we need got a little bit more work to do, but that thing's up in the air. Go ahead, Chad. I stepped on you. I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. You know, there's a lot of people that were involved in that cross getting erected. And so they need to be acknowledged accordingly.
I can't acknowledge it. I agree with you, Chad.
That's right.
Mark Trump and Joe Allen and I went down, the guys who came and showed up and worked and labored and did, you know, they did weed whacking, they did painting, they did on and on. Guys have just come and volunteered.
Well, what I was trying to say is that, you know, we have in our own mind, we're asking the Lord for, Lord, what is our mission? What do you want me to do?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And then he tells you, and then you go, yeah, but really, I wanted to do this.
Yeah, that's not what I wanted to do, Lord.
Yeah, see, look, if you ask him and he gives you an assignment, you have to do it. You have to do it or you don't. But look, I'm going to assure you that ask Saul if he wishes he would have followed what God told him to do.
Oh, man, oh, man.
Dave.
Hey.
Yes, sir.
I also like the idea of seeing men finishing strong.
Yes, sir.
There's Bob Evans finishing strong. You know, not
Gary Pierce. Gary yeah, Pierce
finishing
came down.
Strong, you know.
Gary Pierce came down for one day and then stayed all night and gave us another whole day. 67 years old or whatever Gary is. Carl, 81 years old. We were finishing strong for sure.
Hey, Chad, let me piggyback on the important thing you just said, and this is for everybody, too. You know, not only is it asking God what to do, and then he lets you know what to do, and you piddle-paddle around and try to find something else to do. It's the same thing is true for revelation and knowledge from God and wisdom. If you ask him for understanding and wisdom and something, and he gives you, in your spirit, something you know came from him, and whatever it is he gives you, there's no sense in asking God for anything new beyond that point until you act on what he already gave you.
That's right. You can't bless you past your last act of disobedience. Folks, let me explain to you, as you're looking at Bob and Bobby up there, I got to tell you, I was scared to go up there. But when I finally went up there, my goodness, what a view. I want you to, Bob is amazing. That cross is solid wood. I mean, I'm talking solid wood. Now, hear me. Bob got up there. We built the cross on the ground. We raised it. Bob got up there, and he welded, whatever, a motor on there that will lower that cross. So as you look at that picture right there, and you see up on the left-hand corner a big light bulb, they say, how's anybody going to ever change that light bulb? Well, Bob connected a motor so that the cross can be lowered so you can replace the bulbs. I mean, it's amazing. And what you see him doing right now, he's drilling in stainless steel. The whole front of it is stainless steel. That's why it lights up so much. In fact, when the sun gets starts to hit it, it has a reflection of its own, even during the day, a reflection off of that stainless steel. Bob figured that whole thing out. And then his daughter, Bobby, shows up out of nowhere, and she's a pee off the old pot or whatever. She, wow. Come on in. Nobody? Nobody? Something to add? Anybody? Anything to add? So y'all going to get a chance to see this, and this will become the talk of Buckeye Lake area. I can tell you that when people begin to see it and understand what it's all about and driving by and taking pictures of it. But remember, we sit in the middle of a hill, so there's certain areas just over the hill you can't see it because we're at the beginning of the foothills. A lot of rolling country out here where we are. But this baby is high over Buckeye Lake. Cool. Anything else before I move on, or if I move on? I got 15 minutes here. Man, quiet crowd today. Quiet crowd.
Well, Dave, I just wanted to say that, you know, right now it seems like it was a great achievement, but later it will manifest. And what it does when you put that cross up there, that reclaims it officially, that high ground for the Lord.
Amen.
At that location.
Amen. Chad, again, we just read about it in Joshua, right? You leave a memorial of what you did there. And so we're saying that we're telling people Jesus is Lord over Buckeye Lake, man. He's Lord over all the earth, but he's Lord over Buckeye Lake as well. And I could get some, you know, maybe I get some guests in here later on that can explain to you exactly the significance of the dark forces that have engulfed this place. Now, listen to this. As you guys know, some of you do know, some of you don't know, this is where Legend Valley Amphitheater is. And last year, I swear in my spirit that the coronavirus first came to Ohio at this right here a year ago when they had a concert called Lost Lands, and 25% of the tickets were sold in China. This was in September last year. And you'll never convince me that this is not where the coronavirus was first introduced to Ohio, right there. So while we were up there working on the cross, who pulls up the road over through the field but the guy who owns Legend Valley, the concert promoter, pulls up. Jumps out of his little four-wheeler, comes walking over, starts up a conversation with me, told me that they already had 38,000 tickets sold for the concert this year, coming up in September, and that the health department gave them the okay to go ahead and have it, but the insurance company will not insure them because of COVID, if you can believe that. COVID. 38,000 tickets, $500 a ticket. Yes, you heard me right. That's without camping or anything. Already 38,000. So if they did show up, or when they do show up, they're going to be under the cross. They ain't going to be under those dinosaurs and all that stuff over there. We've reestablished that property. So
don't forget Dale and David.
Oh, Dale and David Sosha, who came and did the flooring. Of course, I've forgot all about them. On and on. If I have forgotten you.
Praise God, yeah. Coach. It's just such a blessing. And there's the gifts. Look at what Bob and Tammy and family. I mean, goodness.
Mark, do you have any idea what this, wow. Do you know what this meant to Bob's heart? Do you have any idea what it meant to him to do this? And this?
Yeah. So is there a 115 plug on these lights?
Just a regular old extension cord, Mark. Yep.
All right. So I'm going to bring a solar system up. It'll be self-contained, battery, solar, inverter, and you'll just set it at the base of it and plug it in.
How's that? Awesome, man. Awesome. Awesome.
All right. I'm figuring up. We need to know. It's probably LED. It's not much load, so I'll get that done for you, okay?
Awesome. It is LED, and it was Tammy who said to me, those are 90-watt bulbs or 360 total wattage on the big bulbs, and they've got the little string like Christmas lights, those little ones going up and all the way around it. So there gives you an idea how much strength it is. And if we could put
no
up a
problem at all.
If we put up a solar panel, that would then we wouldn't have to pay the electric bill to keep a thing running. I get up in the morning, folks. I get up in the morning and I go and unplug it. And I go at sundown right now and I plug it in. However, I did order a one of those timers that I can turn on and off. So I don't have to do that. I don't have to do that every day. But hey, Mark, I'm going to tell you something. You ain't going to believe it. When we put it up, it was one thing to see it and go out on the water and see it. When I left the boat, Michelle went home and I went and drove around to see if I could see it from different areas on the lake. And when I drove home, came back up Crystal Hill Road and up over the hill there, and I looked up over my shoulder at the cross. It was dark. Brother, I immediately headed home and grabbed Michelle and said, "You have got to see this. You ain't going to believe this thing."
Hey, you made another eagle's perch.
Another eagle. Yeah, we did. Hey, Mark, also, how about this? A zip line. That's what I said to Bob. Oh, man, we can zip line people.
I don't know about that.
I don't know either. we got to reinforce it, but it's right behind the garage there. You see this pile of rocks. You know those rocks well. And right where Weaver Pavilion is going to be if I continue to twist Roger's
hand. Praise God.
Amen.
Love it, Coach.
Well, you're invested.
What a blessing.
Invested in it, man. You're invested in it. We're all – hey, you know what, folks? I still think this. I think this is a refuge for God's people. That's what I think. I can't think of any other reason other than, of course, reclaiming the property. I can't think of any other reason why God would be so adamant. What a battle we went through to just take possession of this land.
That and cross is separating darkness. Look at it. It's beautiful.
Or wow. I said, look at those lights in the background. The one goes right. The one lines right up with the cross. The middle one lines right up with the cross and doesn't come out the other side. Do you see that? Isn't that something?
Okay, Coach. I had an opportunity. You don't have any pictures from the lake yet, Coach?
No, because you got to get them at night, right? So we'll get out. We'll get out there and get them. I can't get out on bucket. It won't get dark out there at about 9:30. So that's that's why we just haven't done it yet. Try to do it tonight. Go ahead, Craig.
Yeah, Coach, just Randy.
Randy.
In my truck here. Hey, the scripture that hits me for this is Luke 10, when Jesus 10:17-21. It's when Jesus sends out the 70. And he sees Satan fall from heaven like lightning. This is prophetic, Coach. This is what he did after he realized what was going to happen, because when he left the earth, it was going to work. It says in verse 21, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the spirit. Coach, that means to jump up and down and just with ecstasy. Coach, when I saw that when you YouTube that and I saw that, I mean, my spirit, I jumped up and down, Coach. I rejoiced in the spirit. I think all these people that's connected with this, Coach, when this went up, something went off in us. We rejoiced in the spirit because we see the future. We see what's going to happen. We see Satan falling like lightning in his strongholds everywhere we go. Coach, this is so prophetic.
Amen.
We got to get this. We got to see this. And we get to participate with God in what he's doing. Privilege, Coach. Privilege.
And he said unto him, behold, I beheld Satan as the lightning fall from heaven. Yep. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall any means hurt you. Mark, this is a demonstration of, power runs
it's
those
authority.
Lights, folks. Power runs those lights, right? All power has been given to us. Power over the enemy. This is a strong physical representation of our reclaiming this land for the cause of Christ. That's what was in my spirit. That's why my spirit leapt. That's why my wife sat up there all day and watched it going. We could not. Folks, I'm telling you, if you could imagine just an old laborer, Bob, don't take it the wrong way, common laborer like Bob Evans, who never had a trigonometry course, never had, was able to sit down and draw this thing up 2.5 hours away from the site and come and get the materials and drag it up there and weld it together and have it welded perfectly where it was supposed to be, and then bring half of it down, then go back and get another half of it there, and then weld it together, and then build a cross while it's laying on the ground, build a cross on it, then put a motor on it, and then put a power into the motor, and then get a truck on one end and a truck on the other end and a tow motor in the beginning, and stand that thing up off of the ground, pull that thing down to do what everybody kept telling us. You got to go get a crane, got to go get a crane. And I kept saying, and Bob, I trust. And Bob, I trust. I think he's got this thing figured out. And we put that thing in place. We put the first two bolts in. And when that thing stood up, you guys saw it. When it flopped down, boom, those other two bolts, it fell right. It was one of the most remarkable things I have ever seen in my life.
Luke 14:28, Coach. Luke 14. This, I shared this with the church. I showed the pictures of it. And, brother, there's two things specifically that happens here. The Lord says, for which of you intend to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost. Brother.
Wow, wow, wow.
So we'll just jump forward and then go to verse 31. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth down not first and consulteth whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh with 20,000? In other words, brother, you consider the cost, you build a tower that glorifies God, you know, it shines on high. And brother, the resistance against you was always greater than that which was for you. And you said, you know what? We can do this. And brother, that was my message yesterday in showing your cross at church. Man, people in my church, they were smiling, brother.
Wow.
And I said, I don't even get into the opportunity. I didn't get into the opportunity to share everything about the significance of that land, the demonicness that used to rule and reign there, now has been crushed underneath the feet of the king.
Amen, Dale. Amen, folks. And again, if I be lifted up, I'm going to draw all men unto me. And it's unbelievable. And it's something. It's something.
Hey, one more thing, Coach.
Yep.
Hey, this is Gary Pierce. Drove around Buckeye Lake and went to one of the farthest points, and it was hard to get access to the shore. But I went to a business, a tavern, bar, restaurant, where a lot of people gather, and I went to their deck, and I looked up toward the east, and I could pick out the cross in broad daylight, and all those people that are going to be at that business sitting there about 8 miles away are going to always see that cross. It is going to, at night, it's just going to be glaring from the sky, and just there. There's going to be no denying it.
Yeah, and you know what, folks? Listen, Gary came down to help on Saturday, July 3rd. And so we all thought we're going to be done on July the 3rd and we'll have it up and yada, yada, yada. And it was just prophetic, you know. We couldn't get it up on July 3rd. And so now I can always say to everybody that it went up on July 4th, 2020. July 4th, 2020. That thing split the sky. Huh? Significant.
2020 vision.
2020 vision.
You know what, Coach? I was going to say, I was thinking about Independence Day, and me and Karen was doing our devotions. I said, really, it's our dependence day. We depend on Christ.
Amen. That's our dependence day. It's our dependence day.
Amen. Amen, yes, Gary.
Yep. Amen. Amen. And we know this, don't we, folks? The Bible says that if I be lifted up, I'm going to draw all men unto me. That's what Jesus said. If I be lifted up, and that's what the cross represents to us. We've lifted it up, and we're believing that God's going to draw all men. The ministry that is going to go forth from that place to this area is going to be incalculable. It's going to be something that, as I said, I told Bob Evans, every time you drive up Route 70, you're going to be able to say, digging holes, planting poles, stringing a wire. That nobody knows what he did, and he did it. Nobody knows. And he's laying his head on his pillow, sleeping well at night. He and Tammy, what a team together they make. And just honored. Mark, how about this, that we gave him an opportunity to use his skill set.
Amen.
Yeah, that's all it's about, isn't it?
Amen. Boldly, courageously, Bob. Amazing.
Amen. Using his skill set. It's something he could do. Maybe he can't preach. Maybe he can't sing. Maybe whatever. But he can build. We gave him an opportunity to do it. And he went at it with a passion. And as I said, he looked me in the eye and says, Coach, I'm relentless. Bob's relentless. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.